All right. Take it down just a little bit, Brother Bill. It's kind of echoing back here. All right. Jane and Nani are sitting together back there. So you can blame them for what we're doing here tonight. We were going through our New Testament survey. We were looking at one book of the New Testament. We went from Matthew to Revelation every Wednesday night, looking at one of the books in order, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, and so forth. And as I was completing that, I was praying about where to go next, what to do after that. And these two ladies going out one night before we finished the New Testament said, "What about the Old Testament?" And at the time I thought, that's a big piece of cake to eat. That's a big thing, to get the 50 chapters in Genesis into one study on a Wednesday night. To get the 150 chapters of Psalms in one study on a Wednesday night. I've got my work cut out for me. You know, a lot of preachers use somebody else's curriculum, and there's nothing wrong with that. Our Sunday school teachers do that. But I've never been the curriculum user person. I've been the curriculum writer person. And so now the challenge is for me as we go through the Old Testament to get a lesson every Wednesday night. And tonight, we're on the first book of the Old Testament. And that, of course, is the book of Genesis. So tonight we're going to try to, in the next 30 minutes, just give you a brief overview of the book of Genesis. There is so much, especially in the first 11 chapters of Genesis. And as I was preparing this lesson for tonight, I thought, you know, I need to go back on a different time. Sunday school sometime soon, we need to go through the first 11 chapters of Genesis verse by verse, because there's so much there that we won't have time to get into this evening. We'll just kind of get a brief look at it, but it's just an immense amount of information. I have been reading and studying the Bible for 44 years since I became a Christian when I was 18. And it just amazes me that even when I get ready to do things like this, how much I don't know. And how much I learn when I'm studying and preparing after 44 years of doing this. And so, there's just no book in the world like the Bible. And its depths are just, the nuggets in it are deep, and you can dig down. It's great because there's a lot of stuff right at the surface you can get. Just reading it, you can get a lot from it, but then the deeper you go, the greater it gets. We're gonna try to stay at the surface on Genesis this evening. We'll start with this. The first book of Moses, you noticed here as I typed it out, the first book of Moses called Genesis is the proper title of the first book of the Bible. All right, it is a, and this isn't in our notes, it is a seven-word title. All right, the first book of Moses called Genesis. Now, in the first editions of the King James Bible, we're talking 400 years ago, 1611, that was the title that was written in that Bible. It was called the book of Moses, called the first book of Moses, called Genesis. Bible publishers, who are always looking for a way to save some money, have shortened it to simply Genesis. And one of the reasons is because of that. But the other is, number one in our outline tonight, the title reveals the writer of the book. The title reveals the writer of the book. What we saw in the New Testament is that all of the books of the New Testament, almost every one of them, the author or the writer's name is given. I, Paul, to the church. John, your companion in tribulation, in the book of Revelation. Most of them are identified. Luke, in writing his gospel and writing the book of Acts, we can pick him out. But in Genesis, there's nothing in the 50 chapters that tells us who the writer is. So we're dependent upon the title of the book, the first book of Moses called Genesis, to give us that title. Now again, when folks want to save printing ink and just take and put the book of Genesis or just Genesis, they've done the Bible a disservice. Even when they edit the titles of the books, names of the books of the Bible, when they change anything, they're doing the Word of God a disservice. The first five books of the Bible, you know, are called the Pentateuch. All right, pent meaning five. They're the five books of the law. They're the five books of Moses. When we get to Exodus, we'll find the second book of Moses called Exodus. And the third book of Moses called Leviticus. And each the first word in Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers is now. 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 Because it's a continuation from Genesis through Deuteronomy. So it's one long, continuous, and it's all written by Moses. But again, the Mosaic authorship has been questioned by modern scholarship. They say, well, Moses was probably not the author. How could he have recorded that? At the end of Genesis 50, we have the death of Joseph and all that. All of this happened before Moses was even born. And that's true. Moses isn't born in our Bible until Exodus chapter 2. Well, then how could he write, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth? How does he know that? How does he know what God did on the first day, the second day, the third day, the fifth? He wasn't born for 4,000 years after this. How did he know all that stuff? Well, I believe there's a great correlation between the first book of the Bible and the last book of the Bible. We're studying Revelation on Sunday nights, the last book of the Bible. How did John know the things he writes in Revelation chapter 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11? Those things haven't even happened yet. Those things we're studying about in the book of Revelation are still future in 2018, and yet John wrote about them in 95 AD. And we know the explanation for that is, John says, while I was in the Isle of Patmos, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. God pulled him up to heaven and showed him things to come, showed him the future. Well, is it a stretch of the imagination to believe that God could have done the same thing with Moses and brought him up into a mountain, Exodus chapter 33, and showed him things of the past? There's an unusual story in Exodus 33, and we don't have time to look at it tonight because we've got to get through this study and we're still on line number one. In Exodus chapter 33, you might remember the story that God puts Moses in the cliff of a rock on a mountain and puts his hand over Moses' face and says, you're not allowed to see me pass by. You're not allowed to see my face, but watch me go by, and when I remove my hand, you'll see my back parts. Now, really? Is God saying to Moses, I'm going to let you see the backside of my physical, literal body? It's very possible that what God was saying, I'm going to show you my history. I'm going to show you my background. I'm going to bring you up to a mountain and I'm going to show you, Moses, the things that happened at creation, at the dawn of creation. I'm going to show you what happened in the garden with Adam and Eve. And that just like John got his revelation of things to come, Moses was given a revelation of things that had already happened, and that's how he was able to write these things. He was not an eyewitness. Obviously, he wasn't even born. But the Bible tells us in 2 Timothy 3:16 that all Scripture, everything in here is given by inspiration of God. Moses didn't even have to have seen it himself. God said, Moses, write this. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And Moses simply wrote what God was telling him to write. Write, on the sixth day, God made man in his own image. Let us make man in our own image, in our own likeness. And Moses wrote it down. So the Mosaic authorship, though disputed by modern scholarship, and that modern scholarship is a whole new phrase in itself, it is what Moses wrote. He wrote the first book of Moses, the second, third, fourth, and fifth. And I've given you a list there. You'll notice in the second paragraph under this first thing. Genesis is the first book of the Pentateuch. Genesis through Deuteronomy, those are the five books of the law, which both the Old and New Testaments attribute to Moses. Now, I gave you a string of verses there. You can look them up later. But in all these verses, Matthew and Mark, Luke, John, Acts, 1 Corinthians, and Hebrews, every one of those verses, you'll see that the Bible attributes the Old Testament law, the books of, it talks about the events, the event of Moses gave you circumcision. Moses wrote you the law about putting away. Moses said this and that. Well, that's all in Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. So the Lord Jesus Christ, the Apostle Paul, the New Testament writers, all attributed these first five books of the Bible to Moses. That's good enough for me. So the title gives us, first of all, the writer of the book, the first book of Moses called Genesis. Number two, the title now gives us not only the writer of the book, it gives us the purpose of the book. the purpose of the book. The first book of Moses called Genesis. The word Genesis means beginnings or origin. People use that even in modern phraseology. Say, well, the genesis of this project was when so-and-so came up with this idea or that. We use that word in our modern vocabulary even today. That's what Genesis means. It means the beginnings or the origin. And in Genesis, we read the beginning of so many things. I've listed just a few of them here. We read the beginning of creation in Genesis chapter 1 and 2. We read about the beginning of the human race when God made Adam and Eve in his own likeness. I preached on that last Sunday morning to a certain degree. And again, Adam and Eve were real, literal people that God made. They weren't representative figures of the human race. They were real. So we have the beginning of the human race. We have the beginning of sin in Genesis chapter 3. We have the beginning of death in Genesis chapter 5. Genesis chapter 5, we find the word died 8 times as going from Adam down through Lamech, the father of Noah, as they lived and they died. They lived and they died. That record of that. We have the Genesis or the beginning of families. Adam and Eve, Cain and Abel, Seth. We have the beginning of nations in Genesis chapter 10. After the flood, Noah's 3 sons, Ham, Shem, and Japheth. Ham went south. Japheth went west. Shem went east. And by these were all the nations of the earth populated. All right, all of us can trace our ancestry. Ever seen those commercials on TV? Spending your money to get your ancestry DNA tested and all that. Well, we all go to Noah through either Ham, Shem, or Japheth. And all of these nations were represented in Genesis chapter 12. All right, the beginning of languages in Genesis chapter 11. The Bible tells us where languages came from. Why doesn't the whole world speak the same language? Well, Genesis 11 gives us the answer to that. The beginning of music is in Genesis 5. Industry and many other things. I put this note at the end. No archaeologist, anthropologist, or astronomer. I just used the words that started with A. We could say no scientist has ever found anything to contradict the Genesis record. Now, if you don't know this already, they have tried. Man wants to disprove the Genesis account. They don't want to believe. The evolutionary theory is an attack upon the Genesis account. They sometimes say that they have found, archaeologists have found this or found that, and it disproves the Bible, and they make a big deal about it, and Time magazine or somebody runs a big article about it, and then after about 10 or 15 years, they found out that what they thought they discovered that disproved the Bible was wrong. They never go back and make a retraction. They never correct it. They just let people assume that what they said the first time was right. They never correct themselves. But nothing in Genesis has ever been proven to be incorrect or untrue. We can bank on the Genesis record. It gives us the beginning of all things. The events, here we go down into the next line here. The events of Genesis 11, or the events of Genesis 1 to 11, chapters 1 to 11, take place in a period of over 2,000 years. When we are in Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Usher's chronology puts that at 4004 BC. I've rounded off the numbers to 4,000. But they tell us that that was about 4,000 BC. Now again, that's an estimation because you can't go into, again, what does that do? Well, that tells you that the world is 6,000 years old. All right, now you turn on the Nature Channel or Animal Planet, and this has been here this many billion years or million years or all that. Again, attacking the Genesis record. They don't believe the Bible, and we've proved it by this way and that way. Then their proofs fall apart, but they don't come back and retract it. We talked about this a little while ago. When I was in elementary school, they had the chart with the Cro-Magnon man. It had the monkey. Then it had the gorilla that was standing more upright. Then it had the Cro-Magnon man. Then it had and I can't remember the titles of all of them, but they showed this chart as the monkey started standing more upright, and it came to the human being, and it showed the evolutionary chain that man has progressed in. Well, those charts are not in fifth and sixth grade books anymore. You know why? Because they disproved them. They found out they weren't true. Well, my generation was ingrained with it, and they never came back and said, hey, they just stopped teaching it, but they never came back and said, we were wrong. Because science never admits that it's wrong. That's why the Bible talks about in the New Testament being watching for science falsely so-called. Science that aligns with the Bible is correct science. Science that disagrees with the Bible is incorrect science. It's just that simple. And so anything that lines up with the Bible is right. So we have a record from Genesis 1 to Genesis 11. We have 2,000 years of history. So all the things that happen when you're reading your Bible and you start at Genesis 1 and you read 2, 3, 4, 5, all that stuff happened in the first 2,000 years of history since in the beginning. All right? 20% of Genesis covers those 2,000 years. There's 50 chapters in Genesis. So chapters 1 through 10 would be exactly 20%. It's actually 22%, but again, I rounded it off. So 20% of Genesis is focused on the first 2,000 years. The events of Genesis 12 to 50 take place over a period of 300 years. Now, you see the imbalance here? The first 11 chapters are talking about 2,000 years, and it's condensed into 11 chapters. The next 80% of Genesis only covers 300 years. You know why? That's the important part. Now, I don't want to say that creation and the fall and the flood were not important, but that's what people really focus on. They focus on the minors and don't look at the majors. You know what Genesis 12 to 50 is about? It's all about humanity. It's all about genealogies. It's all about family trees. It's all about events and deceit and murder and trust and all these kind of things. And so the Bible puts the emphasis on the humanity, not on the prehistoric, if I even hate to use that word for it. But it just gives us a timeline. So Genesis, from the beginning to Exodus, covers 2,300 years when we get to Exodus chapter 1. Some key words and phrases in Genesis, and these are good. Just in Genesis chapter 1, let's start there. In Genesis chapter 1 alone, the name God appears 32 times in 31 verses. You look at Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Verse 3, and the Spirit of God was upon the waters. Verse 3, and God said. Verse 6, and God said. And verse 8, verse 7, and God made. Verse 8, and God called. Verse 9, and God said. You know what I like about the Bible? It simply states in verse 1, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Oh, but preacher, don't you know there's some people that don't believe in God? In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Well, preacher, didn't you know that there's some people that believe that there is a multitude of gods, there's a lot of different gods, and he's called by different... No, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Well, preacher, don't you know it's popular teaching that God didn't actually create it? It came from a big bang. No, in the beginning, God created. That first verse confounds the majority of people today. And makes them make a choice between whether they're going to believe the Bible or believe human philosophy. God simply states, I exist. In the beginning, God created. And 32 times in 31 verses, his name shows up. God, 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 God. If someone wants to reject the idea of God, it's a free country. They can do whatever they want to. But God simply says, here I am. I've been here since the beginning. I'll be here to the ending. I'm the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the ending. And so God simply states himself, God, 32 times in 31 verses. That starts out the Bible with an introduction to God. Second of all, you see here in Genesis chapter 1 that, and God said, appears 10 times. And God said. So not just God, but and God said is mentioned 10 times. We could call that God's 10 commandments. All right, in verse 3, and God said, let there be light. And there was light. Notice this. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. Verse 6, and God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide. And God made a firmament. And it says at the end of verse 7, and it was so. You know, if you'll go through here and circle, this is what I've done in my Bible. I've circled every time the phrase, and God said, shows up. And every time it says, and God said, it says, and it was so. God said, let there be light. There was light. God said, let there be a firmament between the lights, between the upper and the lower, and it was so. God said 10 times in Genesis 1, that's kind of the original 10 commandments. And God said, and it was so. You know the problem with the other Ten Commandments? Thou shalt have no other gods before me. But people do. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. But people do. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven images. But people do. Thou shalt not commit adultery. People do. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet. Honor thy father and mother. Those Ten Commandments are broken every single day. But these 10 in Genesis 1, and God said, and it was so. And God said, you know why? Because he wasn't dealing with mankind. He was dealing with nature. And nature obeys God better than we do. And God said appears 10 times. Next, and God saw appears 7 times. And God saw, you know what it is, at the end of each of the 7 days, each of the 6 days of creation, and God saw that it was good. And God saw. No arguments, no debates. There's God. God said, God saw, and then says also in Genesis 1, after his kind or after their kind, it says after his kind 8 times, after their kind 2 times, and what it's saying is simply this, that dogs produce dogs, and cats produced cats, and humans produced humans, and it's been that way since the beginning. All right, again, a tadpole did not produce a goldfish that produced a monkey that produced a man that produced this. It was everything after its own kind. You know, one of the things we always say about the evolutionary theory is, where is it now? Why aren't we seeing those transitionary things now? Where is the process? Where are the things that are changing now? Oh, it takes billions of years. Okay. Well, now again, we've just gone off into fairyland, fairy tale land. The Bible says, and God said, and God saw, and God made, and it was so. Genesis 1 starts us out with the introduction. Either you believe God or you don't believe God. That's how simple it is. Some other things in Genesis chapter 1. Notice, of the 1,533 verses, you say, did you count them? Yes, I did. But not the way you think. I didn't start 1, 2, 3, 4. I went to each chapter, saw how many verses were each of the 50 chapters, counted them, totaled them up, and there was 1,000. Now that number I read in a book, so it wasn't like I just made it myself. But I found one guy said there was 1,533 verses. Another guy said there was 1,534 verses. So now I said, well, if I'm going to put a number down there, I've got to verify it, so I had to go back and add them up myself. There are 1,533 verses in Genesis. Here's the catch. 1,156 begin with the word and. Notice in Genesis chapter 1, there's only 2 verses that don't begin with the word and. Verse number 1, in the beginning. And verse number 27, so God... Every other verse of the 31 all start with the word and. And. You go to chapter 2, chapter 3, 75%, that's what those numbers work out to, 75% of the verses in Genesis start with the word and. Why is that? What is the word and? It's a continuation. I went to the store and I bought bread. I'm going to do this and I'm going, and is a continuation of the story. Genesis is one continuation from chapter 1 to chapter 50. History is moving right along. Again, we compare it to the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation is written in chronological consecutive order. Chapter 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, they all flow in a pattern, and the word and is key in the book of Revelation also. So Genesis is starting at the beginning and moving us through 2,300 years, the first 2,300 years of human history. It's a continuous story. The word generations appears 18 times in Genesis. We're going to see this when we get to our outline in just a minute. The word generations, that's what it's all about. The generations of Adam. The generations of Seth. The generations of Noah. You find that word 18 times. It's an introduction to the origin, the beginning of all the races. Genesis, I like this. Genesis begins in chapter 2, verse 8, in a garden in Eden. That's where Genesis starts. In a garden in Eden. I'd like to see that garden. That garden where God put Adam when he first made him, where he didn't have to work by the sweat of his brow. That all the food just grew everywhere and he just walked through the garden, picked it. Talk to the animals, I think. Now, I can't say that the Bible specifically says that, but I know this, that Eve was not alarmed when the serpent spoke to her from the tree. Adam went around and named all the animals that were there in the garden. There was a relationship between him and them that wasn't there after the fall. That garden had to be some kind of a place. It was called paradise. Well, the Bible's going to end in paradise too. But Genesis began with a garden in Eden and ends in a coffin in Egypt. It begins with a garden in Eden and ends in chapter 50, verse, the last words of chapter 50 in verse 26. Joseph is in a coffin in Eden, a coffin in Egypt. That's the history of the first 2,300 years of mankind, from a garden to a coffin. Now, where have we come from Genesis 50 to where we are today? So that's the book of Genesis as far as the introductory information. Let me give you an overview of the book of Genesis, and this was work. All right, an overview of Genesis, taking it. The two sections, chapter 1 to 11 and then 12 to 50, made it kind of an easy. There are all kinds of outlines we could have worked on that are much more detailed. But let's put it this way. In chapter 1 to chapter 11, we have the beginning of the human race. The beginning of the human race in chapters 1 through 11. If you go home tonight and you're not reading your Bible, start in Genesis 1. Read those first 11 chapters. The beginning, the origin of the human race. From Adam and Eve to Cain and Abel to Seth to Enos to Mahalalel to Methuselah to Lamech to Enos to Enoch to Noah and all the way down to into Abraham and down through the line. All right? The human race. Letter A under that, breaking down those first 11 chapters. Chapters 1 and 2 are about the creation. We've talked about that already. The creation is listed in chapters 1 and 2. Again, we don't have time to go through those chapters specifically, but God said on the first day He made this. On the second day He made that. On the third day He made this. On the fourth day He made that. The fifth day and the sixth day. And on the seventh day He rested. Those days are 24-hour days. In the book of Exodus, when Moses was giving the law, He said, on the seventh day you shall labor, as God did at the beginning. God didn't rest on the seventh day because He was tired. He rested to set a pattern for mankind. The Sabbath was the pattern. Well, God didn't spend 1,000 years making this and another 1,000 doing that, or an eon doing this and an eon doing it. It was 6 24-hour days. He made the plants, then the next day He made the sun. All right, the plants could not have lived for an eon or for thousands of years without the sun. He made that the next. You know why He didn't reverse the order? So we would understand that God made everything in those 24-hour periods. So the creation is in chapter 1 and 2. Letter B, chapter 3 and 5 is about the curse. Chapters 3 to 5 is about the curse. That's where Adam and Eve are told not to eat of the fruit of the tree, of the knowledge of good and evil. Of all the trees thou mayest freely eat, just not that one tree. Got kids? You can tell them you can play with all those toys, but not that one. Which one are they going after? All right, you know why they're doing that? Because that's what you did when you were a kid. You know why you did it? Because that's what your parents did and their parents and their parents. It goes all the way back to Adam and Eve. 999 trees, eat all those, but don't eat of that one. And they ate that one. And the curse came down. Letter C, the catastrophe. There's a big word, C-A-T, cat. C-A-T-A-S-T. R-O-P-H-E. Catastrophe. Again, I did this with words that started with the letter C. Chapter 6 to 9 is all about the flood. The flood of Noah's day. A universal flood. Where all the world was underwater. To the highest mountaintop was covered in the flood during Noah. That's the catastrophe. Then letter D is the coalition. C-O-A-L. Coal. C-O-A-L-I-T-I-O-N. Coalition. Chapters 10 and 11. And that's what we've talked about already. All the nations of the earth. Noah's three sons, Ham, Shem, and Japheth. Japheth went west. Shem went east. Ham went south. They began the different races. The Negroid race, the Caucasian race, the Oriental races all came from Noah's three sons. And then from there, it's been dispersed down into different people groups from that. But all those came out of that one. In chapter 11, they decided they weren't going to be dispersed. They were going to stick together. And under the leadership of Nimrod, they built the Tower of Babel till God had to come down and confound their languages. You know all that. That's the coalition in chapter 10 and 11. So Roman numeral 1 was the beginning of the human race, Genesis 1 through 11. Roman numeral 2 is the beginning of the Hebrew race, Genesis 12 to 50. Genesis chapter 12, God calls Abraham out of Ur of the Chaldees, and he makes him the first Hebrew. He is the father of a new nation. God makes a new nation from Abraham. And we have this as we go down through the rest of Genesis. And again, this is simplifying because there's a lot of other things in between these. But letter A, we have the generations of Abraham in chapters 12 to 24. The generations of Abraham. We read all about Abraham and his actions and activities. We read about his nephew Lot. We read about all these things, but all this is about Abraham in chapters 12 to 24. Letter B, the generations of Isaac. I-S-A-A-C. The generations of Isaac. That's Abraham's son. The promise of God goes from Abraham to Isaac. The promise for the Hebrew race goes from Abraham to Isaac. It's eventually going to get all the way down to David. Then from David, it's going to get to the Lord Jesus Christ because he was of the house and lineage of David. So it goes from Abraham to Isaac. Letter C, if you already know the progeny, you know what the next one is. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. The generations of Jacob are in chapter 27 to 36. The generations of Jacob. In the New Testament, we read all the time, the Jews, Jesus saying, he's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So the Bible spends 80% of the book of Genesis focusing on that line right there. Then letter D, the generations of Joseph. Joseph and his children, Ephraim and Manasseh. The escapades of Joseph being betrayed by his brethren and sold into Egypt and God's blessing upon him, chapters 37 to 50. I want you to think of one thing as you look at that overview of Genesis. 50 chapters boiled into two headings, the beginning of the human race, the beginning of the Hebrew race, and each of those sections broken down into small parts. Can I say this? That's not like that because we're smart enough to figure that out. That's like that because God's book is organized. The Bible says in the New Testament, let all things be done decently and in order. Some folks want to pick up the Bible, as it were, and just kind of do this. And read something right there and think they're going to get something from it. And you know what happens when you do that? You're picking something out of order. Now I'm glad there's some wonderful promises in the Bible, in Psalms, in John. There's some, but you know, you really have to read through the whole thing to understand it. It's amazing how many people think they know the Bible and they've never read it from Genesis to Revelation. How can you know something if you haven't read it? Oh, well, they read somebody that read it. Or they heard something from somebody that read it. No, you learn it by reading it. Because if you learn it by hearing what somebody else said, maybe they didn't read it right. I've told you this before. Anything I preach from this pulpit, anything I teach from this pulpit, don't take my word for it. Go back to the source. Go back to the Bible and read it yourself and see if that's what it really says. Because man is fallible. And I'm just a human being. I'm fallible too. I spend a lot of time studying and reading and researching and try to make sure I don't wander off into something that I'm conjecturing, or if I'm going to do that, I tell you that. But at the same time, this Bible's an organized book, and as we go through these, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, we're going to see that God has recorded these things. It's not, you know, some folks criticize the Bible, say, well, it's just a bunch of old Jews haphazardly writing a bunch of stuff down. You're nuts. You've never read it. You're making a statement that you can't back up, because that book is very orderly. You can see that just by Genesis, the beginning of the human race, the beginning of the Hebrew race, the genealogy or the generations of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph. It's a very organized book. As we go through this Old Testament study, starting with the Pentateuch, then the books of history, then the books of poetry, then the major prophet, then the minor. Again, every section is in a certain order, and it's orchestrated by God. It wasn't just thrown together by mankind. It was all done, all scriptures given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. What a shame it's going to be for some folks to get to heaven. Now, it won't be a shame to get to heaven. It'll be great to get to heaven. But what a shame to get there and God say, what'd you do with the book I gave you? Well, I put the death announcements in it. I had a couple leaves that fell out of the tree. I had them in there real nice, pressed down so they wouldn't. But did you read it? You run into a fellow up in heaven named Habakkuk. He said, did you read my book? Obadiah said, did you read my book? What book did you write? We need to be readers of the Word. All right? And we need to understand the Word of God. I hope this study of the Old Testament will just give us an overview, give us an introduction so that when we read, I hope it whets our appetite, if nothing else tonight, that you want to read Genesis 1 to 11, see the beginning of all these things and how God orchestrated it, and see God's prominent position in all that He did. Let's stand together this evening with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Father, thank You for this time we can spend together on a Wednesday night and get around Your Word. God, there's no better way that we could be spending time.